The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful morning it is here in Sonoma County. And I have a very special show today. I have two special guests joining me in the studio. My first guest will be Kathleen Riley, who is the public policy chair for the American Association of University Women, the Sonoma County chapter, and I'm very, very proud to have her in the studio. We're going to be talking about a program they're having on equal pay, and I found out, this is so interesting, I found out they're having a cookie sale, aka bake sale. I can't believe it. We're still doing bake sales, and it's going to be happening on April 12th, and Kathleen's going to be talking about that and giving us some information. And also, I have a wonderful guest with me, Amanda Morrison. She's the head of the Santa Rosa J.C. Petaluma Intercultural Center and chair of the North Bay Organizing Project. And also, they're going to be having a special fair. Actually, it's a conference. It's called The Future in Petaluma on April 13th. It's going to be an all-day experience, and we're going to talk about that. And it's called Feeding Ourselves, Feeding Our Souls. I love that. Feeding ourselves, feeding our souls. In other words, getting information and finding ways on how we can take care of ourselves. Well, it's been a fascinating weekend, I have to say that. Actually, a fascinating week. I want to do a shout-out, you know, to Ken and I. We, on April Fool's Day, it was very interesting. We had April Fool's Day. We had Easter Sunday. We also had the beginning of Passover, and we also had the full moon. And Ken and I celebrated 18 years together, and I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. It's been an exciting 18 years, and I look forward to the next 18 years. Also, on Thursday, I had the pleasure, I don't know, it's hard to describe. We went to see the film, The Rape of Racy Taylor, which is a story of a young woman in the Deep South who was raped in the 40s and, went to court and was denied. There was no sentence, no punishment, nothing. It was actually denied. They almost denied that it even happened. And what was so interesting about watching the film is I found out something that I really did not know. I did not know that it was okay in the Deep South for young boys to rape young black women as a rite of passage. That just blew me away that even went on. So on so many levels, we have come a long way. Yes, we have. But, you know, we still have a long way to go. And there's still always that little thing in the background for women, like somehow we're going to lose our right to choose. We're not going to have equal pay. You know, on and on and on I could go. You know what's so amazing to me is every once in a while I'll see some decision is made, say around choice or around birth control. And all of a sudden you see all these men circling around signing these papers. Well, I don't think the women agree with it, and that's why they're not there. So it's very important that we look at what is happening to us as women and acknowledge some of the horrors that we've had to go through. I mean, I sat and cried through that whole movie. I could not believe that women went through that, and this young woman was raped by seven young men, rite of passage, and nothing happened. But the point is that she did stand up, and she did demand that she be heard, and she was heard. And here we are in 2018 when many, many, many women are going to be heard. Actually, April is a month dedicated to raising awareness about sexual violence and increasing public understanding about what is happening in our society. It also provides opportunities for the communities to be directly involved in supporting victims and support and their families. You know, when a woman is raped, I mean, I don't know if you find, I want to go back a little bit when we did the interview with Gloria Allred. One of her claims to fame actually is that she was able to discouraged the statute of limitation when it came to rape. That women, if 40 years ago, if it happened, you could come forward, because it was known that women have a hard time. There's an embarrassment about it. There's a shame about it. And there's also a fear about it, that if they report it, that somehow something is going to happen to them. Well, things are changing. And there's several pieces of legislation that are happening in Sacramento here in California. And it's very, very important, you know, particularly around rape kits. And what the rape kits are is the way that women report when something like this has happened, and it goes through the chain of command with law enforcement. But what's important is that these rape kits, they are not mandatory. It's up to the discretion of each department in each county. And women want to stop that. They want it to be mandatory. So there's several bills that are being involved, and I'm going to post them on my website. But I want you just to pay attention. And one of the things that they recommended at the filming is that when something happens with a friend, don't be afraid to intervene. If you see something happening and it looks a little odd, don't be afraid to speak out and say something. And speak up when someone all of a sudden makes some joke about, you know, rape or something about women or their body parts. Say, no, that is not appropriate. And believe and support survivors. You know, it's important when a friend of yours tells you that something happened, don't say, oh, well, you know, it'll pass, your feelings will pass. No, encourage them to report these things. Also to create a sense of environment that supports when women come forward, they're not made fun of, that they're actually listened to and taken care of. And also to coordinate with your community. You know, we have a very, very important program here called Verity, that if you call at the Family Justice Center, you can call. They have a special hotline, and you can make calls, that we have a community and we have things that are coordinated in our community. And above all, email your legislators. Tell them that you want the rape kits to be mandatory and that it needs to go through the proper system and not to stall. Sometimes they sit 6-8 months on the shelf with nothing happening, and it's very important that we move forward with it. So that's just one little thing that we want to, you know, just kind of talk about and just recognize that it's very, very important as women that we stand up for this, that we stand up and we say, hey, enough is enough. I think there's a program called Time's Up, you know, or Me Too, and all the different programs that have come forward. We as women, we need to support that. Very, very important. Well, we're going to take a little musical break now. Oh, wait. No, we're not. We're not going to take a musical break, because I have another very important announcement to make. Tony Spears, an artist living in Grayton, along with my dear friend Judy Kennedy, has compiled a drawing of all the 14 students who were killed on Valentine's Day in Florida. And it was really interesting. Ken and I were driving back from an event that we went to on Sunday, and we were able to pass the mural, and it was so touching when I looked at all those young faces, and I thought to myself, my God, they came to school this one day, and this person who was having issues, we know he was having issues, we know he had problems, I mean, he was even on the FBI's radar, and here these young people come to school, and within hours, they're gone. And just think of the suffering and the horror for the families. I mean, I, in my mind, the thing that happens to me all the time is when I start thinking of these shootings, I think of the phone call. I think of the phone call that mother or that father received. I mean, and it's a phone call none of us want to have. So it's kind of a reminder when you look at this mural of these paintings of all these young faces. It's kind of a reminder that young people in our communities are suffering, not just in the United States. I mean, let's go a little bit further. What about all the wars that are happening, all the young people that are being thrown out of their homes, that are losing families, that are being killed? I mean, their pictures are not displayed, but these young 14 young people from Florida, their pictures being displayed reminds us of all the issues around the globe that youth are having. You know, I'm just thinking we're almost into the fifth year since we had the shooting of Andy Lopez here in Sonoma County, and still nothing, it's still up in the air about what's going to happen. And we have to start thinking about that. And we have to start thinking about gun control and making different legislation and different rules to protect our young people. I don't remember, and I'm going to add Kathleen, I'm sure doesn't remember, and I know Ken doesn't remember, that we ever went to school that we feared that someone was going to come and gun us down. I mean, we live in some pretty hard times. Well, anyway, the demonstration or the pictures are on College Avenue and Cleveland Avenue intersection. They're right on that side wall. I think there used to be a Chinese restaurant there. And you just pass by and look at it and say a little prayer. Put a little prayer out in the universe that maybe our legislators come and get some good common sense gun laws. I like that name, common sense. In other words, let's just ban some of these military rifles that we don't even need on the street. So a special shout out to Tony Spears and also to the resident artist Judy Kennedy for doing this. It is quite an inspiring display as far as I'm concerned. It's also sad. It's also sad when you think about it. So unnecessary. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And the song that I decided to pick was called The Rose. And it's sung by one of my favorite artists, Leanne Rimes. And the reason that I chose this song is because it's spring. Spring has come up. And I went outside the other day, and we have these beautiful, beautiful Easter lilies. I cannot believe it. All of a sudden, they just appeared. We have 17 of them. And which is, I just looked at them, and I thought, the beauty of nature. The beauty of nature. And what happens is that during the winter, it's everything's going on inside the earth that we don't even see. And what I love about the song, The Rose, it kind of reminds us. It reminds us that we live in this beautiful, beautiful universe that produces such beautiful things for us. And it gives us a thought, some thoughts of how we can be in the world and how we can make the world a better place for not only ourselves, for each and every one of us. So let's go here. The Rose, sung by Leanne Rimes. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Kathleen Riley, who is the public policy chair for the American Association of University Women. Here we go, The Rose.
Some say love.
that is so beautiful. I got an email the other day, and the person asked me, why do you play all the songs through? Well, I just want to remind my listeners that the songs are a lesson in themselves. So when you listen, it gives us ideas. I love that, you know, the person afraid of dying is afraid of living. You know, I often think the person afraid of loving is afraid of living, or accepting is afraid of living. Well, anyway, a lot to think about. Well, for you folks just joining in, you are listening to KPBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And before we start, before I introduce my guests, I forgot to do one thing, and that is I want to do a shout-out to the Rialto Theater in Sebastopol. And why do I want to do that? Because when we showed the film, The Rape of Racy Taylor, they donated all the proceeds to our Rape Center, the Verity Group here, and I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. Well, without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Kathleen Riley. Kathleen, welcome once again to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much, Elaine. It's wonderful to be back.
Well, I'm just so excited to have you, and to hear some of the things that the AAUW is doing is just amazing. So let me tell our folks just a little bit about you. Kathleen Riley comes to us from, where were you born?
Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah. Comes to us from Ohio, and she earned a degree from St. Mary's in Moraga in career education. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And also taught career education. What is career education exactly?
Well, it wasn't career education. It was educational leadership that I got the master's degree in Moraga. And my career has been in educational media, libraries. I started out in mathematics, but then went on to work in the schools, helping teachers use media, helping children read, access good books, that sort of thing.
And now here you are in our Sonoma County,
yes.
And you are the public policy chair for the AAUW. Talk a little bit about AAUW. What is it? What does that stand for?
AAUW seems to be more prominent on the West Coast than it was certainly in Ohio and perhaps the East Coast. I really can't speak for the East Coast. But AAUW is a group of it's an organization that's on the national level, obviously. We have been around since the late 1800s, before women got the right to vote. And we try to support women so that they can have better lives and have equal rights to all sorts of things, like education, like an equal paycheck. And we try to advocate in the state governments, the local governments, so that people remember to pay us the same amount of money as they might pay a fellow to do something.
You know, I got to say something, Kathleen. I mean, I realize I made a joke when I said cookie sale, a.k.a. bake sale, because it's so phenomenal to me that as women, we still have to have bake sales to raise awareness. I mean, it's interesting to me. And then when you start talking about the equal pay, I mean, it's almost 100 years since we've gotten the vote. You know, and now we're still struggling. We're still struggling to keep choice, to keep what we have. And so I think it's very, very interesting that this is happening. How does the AAUW contribute to making sure that women still are getting what they deserve?
Well, in the Healdsburg branch, that's the local branch of AAUW, there are we are visiting each of the town halls in Windsor, Cloverdale, and Santa Rosa, and we're asking that the mayor recognize Equal Pay Day, which takes place on Tuesday, April 10th. And just by asking that the mayor recognize this day, it means that people will take a moment to reflect on how they're treating women, perhaps, and they'll remember that they should be paid the same amount. And it's kind of a way of speaking up without being rude. if the organization speaks for women, it's much better, I think, than the woman speaking up for herself or being confrontational. So it's wonderful that this kind of support is offered to us through our local town governments.
Well, what's interesting, I, as you know, another hat that I wear, I'm president of the National Organization for Women, our Sonoma County chapter. And one of the things that I'm finding is that there is not enough recognition of what women are doing. I mean, we even have right now, when you're talking about you're having these equal pay, you're having these town halls, how come there's not an article written about it? How come it's not really in the press and letting us know that this is happening?
Well, I think there are articles that will appear. Unfortunately, I can't speak to that right off the
top
of my
head.
Well,
let's keep our eyes open because one of the things that I'm noticing more and more is that a lot of these things that happen, even when we had the event with Racy Taylor, there was very little PR on it. And I begin to wonder, is there a blockout with women, or they don't want us to know everything that's happening? So I think it's very important that organizations like yourself are very well supported.
That's very nice to hear. And thank you for having us here today.
Yeah, no, I think, that's why we have Women's Spaces. I mean, to be able to hold the show open for women only. I mean, that's important, for women only. We have a woman here by the name of Amanda Morrison from Petaluma. Here she's running a whole program going to do the future. It's another woman that's putting herself out there and doing the work that we need to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. So I just needed to say that. So what are Sonoma? You have two local branches here, the
yes,
AAUW. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
There's the Healdsburg branch and the Santa Rosa branch. I believe the Santa Rosa branch is a good deal older than the Healdsburg branch. Santa Rosa is just an older city. The Santa Rosa branch has about 100 members, and the Healdsburg branch seems to be growing a great deal these days. They are getting new members all of the time. I think people are moving to Healdsburg, perhaps in retirement, and that's where they're picking up their membership.
What's the requirement?
The requirement to be in AUW, really everyone is welcome. If you have a associate's degree, like if you graduate from the junior college and would like to become a member of AUW, we would be very happy to have you. And then, of course, it's the gamut. We have women that are medical doctors, of course, many teachers. I am with the group because of my teaching background, and all of us teachers have sort of a way of looking at things, I suppose. Dental hygienists are part of our group. So
So what you're saying is, as long as you have some degree, mm-hmm. you're welcome. And it's the idea of bringing women who have educated themselves together and to help make policy.
Yes, that would be the focus of the Public Policy Committee. We also create scholarships for young women. Both the Healdsburg branch and the Santa Rosa branch will be awarding scholarships to Sonoma State University women and to the Santa Rosa JC women. We have something called Tech Trek. We take local high schoolers, and they have a week in the summer at Stanford where they learn more about technology so that they're comfortable working in that field.
Wow, what an amazing,
amazing
the work. Well, especially for young women. Young mm-hmm. women, it's very important, especially when you're starting new in the job market. It's always good to have a group where you can relate to and maybe get some support.
And actually, if you joined AUW, they would help you negotiate your salary. And that's one of the issues that comes up in the proclamation that we drafted that the mayors will accept and read out to the community.
Okay, let me just explain this before we mm-hmm. read that. So there's going to be two events. One is going to be on April 14th at the Windsor Town Hall Council Chamber, right? And
yes.
then there's going to be another one in Cloverdale. Mm-hmm. So this is the statement that you're going to be reading the mayors at that time for your for the support you're requesting for them. So go ahead and read that, Kathleen.
Well, there are just two that I will mention on the air, and it's our organization that will be reading these. One of them reads, whereas according to the U.S. Census Bureau, women working full-time year-round in the United States of America typically earn 80% of what men earn. And whereas nearly 4 in 10 mothers are primary breadwinners in their households, and nearly 2/3 are primary or significant earners, making pay equity critical to economic families and security. Therefore, I want it to be proclaimed that Equal Pay Day in the city of Cloverdale and Windsor, and this council reaffirms these actions of the committee to recognize the full value of women's skills and contributions to the labor force. So those are just a couple of
I want to just applaud. That's wonderful. What a wonderful, you know, that's the beauty of media, of letting folks know, because who would ever know that the AAUW is going in front of this council if we don't publicize it, yes. Let folks know.
Yes, and we'd like people to come and attend if you'd like to come on either of those nights.
All right, let me give the information here. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first one is going to be happening April 4th. Today's April 2nd, so that's going to be Thursday or mm-hmm. Wednesday? Thursday.
Wednesday,
this Wednesday, April 4th, at the Windsor Town Hall Council Chamber at 6 o'clock, and that's going to be at 9291 Old Redwood Highway in Windsor. And also, all this will be on Women's Spaces. We will list it. And then the second one is going to be on April 10th at the Cloverdale City Council at 6 o'clock p.m. at 209 North Cloverdale Boulevard in Cloverdale. And also, just to let folks know that there was a meeting that was already held, that they did do this presentation for the City Council in Hillsburg on March 19th, the day after my birthday. But anyway, so there's these two coming up. So what other thing do you have planned for that besides just making the statement?
Besides making the proclamation, yeah. So that people reflect on the inequity in pay. We're also doing a cookie sale.
Yeah, talk. I
right
love that cookie sale. Go ahead.
I have to say, I'm really pleased because Cousteau Bakery is making the cookies. They're not coming out of our kitchens, even though that's what we usually think of when we have a.
Well, I'm glad you modernized.
Well, they're donating them, and they're very. They're very meaningful. The cookie sale is a surprise to people. The cookies will be sold during the lunch hour on Tuesday, April 10th. And when a man buys a cookie, when a woman buys a cookie, she will get a full cookie. When a man buys a cookie, he will get only 80% of a cookie. I think everyone realizes what's going on here, and that makes usually men think about the fact that women don't get as much.
You're not getting your full cookie, guys. That's how there is to it.
And apparently, I've heard that there are times when the men just kind of are so quizzical, and then it dawns on them what's going on, and the point of emphasizing Equal Pay Day and how women feel.
Where is this event taking place? Where is it?
It's from 11 until 1 p.m., and it's going to be in Healdsburg in front of Big John. So if you're going in and out doing your shopping that day, you'll see our stand there selling cookies. It'll also be in Cloverdale during that same 2 hours at Plank Coffee in Cloverdale, and we'll be selling in front of Oliver's Market in Windsor.
Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking some great sponsors for KBBF. I mean, here we are letting the people know what's going on. Let's just, before we're coming to the end of our segment, just talk a little bit about what is Equal Pay Day and what is that? I have it here. Equal Pay Day is the symbolic day when women's earnings catch up to men's earnings from the year before. Is that what's supposed to happen on that day? Everybody gets a raise?
Well, women have worked for free from January 1st until April 10th. So that's what Equal Pay Day is. It's to show you how long we really work for nothing. So this is to represent the 20% of the year or 20% of the salary.
So in other words, what you're saying is that 20% equals that you're actually giving free labor.
Right.
Compare. I never thought of it that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is very clever. I mean, mm-hmm. thinking of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you promote it?
Well, we promote it to remind people that there is this gap, and it's the census that has determined this gap. It isn't our own research that has identified the fact that women are paid 20% less than men.
Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, Kathleen. So why don't you give us your website, how they can get a hold of you, how they can get a hold more information about AAUW, and how they can get more information about these events.
We would love to have you as a member if you're thinking of that. We have many interest groups in addition to our fundraising activities. We have book groups and card playing groups. We have art groups.
Wait a minute, card playing? Do they play canasta?
Yeah, right. I don't know exactly what they play.
I love canasta.
All right, see? So you might want to come and join. All you need to do is Google AAUW and then Santa Rosa or Healdsburg, depending on what organization you're interested in. And all of the information will be there for you. We will contact you and have you come to a meeting. Or you could just come to a meeting. You can certainly find all of that information on the website.
And all this information will be on www.womenspaces. We'll list the events that are happening and the times and the addresses and also the times of your meeting and your website.
I also want to point out that equal pay was a resolution that was adopted in 1963. This is not a whim of ours. It's really reminding people that it's taken us 50 years and women still are not paid the same amount as men for the same work.
Well, I want to make one last statement before we say goodbye. And this is, I have a little thing in front of me. It says, how can you support this? Advocate equal pay for women and ask your elected officials to support the Paycheck Fairness Act currently circulating in Congress to improve the scope and the implementation of the existing Equal Pay Act. Change the future and make the $10 bill a reality for women. That's what I say. It's amazing. Well, thank you,
Kathleen.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Oh, no, thank you. And thank you for your good sense of humor and just coming in. Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll hope to see you again soon or be on the air soon. Thank you.
Wow. You know, there's so much going on in our community. It's amazing. It's amazing. The power of women, the power of organization. It's amazing. The power of education. All these things are just amazing to me. Well, anyway, we're going to take a musical break again. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking to Amanda Morrison from the Santa Rosa JC, who is one of the coordinators for their conference happening on April 13th called The Future. And while we take this this amazing break, I'm going to play one of my favorite songs. It's called The Times They Are A-Changing. It's a Bob Dylan song, but it's like I do every show, I always find women who are singing the same songs that men sang. And this is a very famous Dylan song, The Times That Are Changing. And it's sung by one of my favorite singers, one of my favorite people that really expresses things and lets you know exactly what's happening. And that's Odetta. So let's listen to Odetta singing The Times They Are Changing. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Amanda Morrison.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone, and if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, 'cause the wheel is still in spin, and there's no telling who it's naming. For the loser now will later to win, for the time they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't blow. lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the time they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons, your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly changing. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times they are a-changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow now will be later fast. As the present now will be later past. Order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times they are a-changing. Come gather round people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving, then you'd better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Yes, you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. All the time they are a-changing.
Oh, one of my favorite songs, but I have to add something here. And that is, I hope the times are changing. And right now we have an opportunity here in Petaluma. We're going to be doing there's a social justice conference that's happening called We the Future. And let me tell you something, that's an opportunity to start learning how we can make changes. So welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Dr. Amanda Morrison. Welcome, Amanda. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Oh, it's
a year later. How did that go so fast?
I know. Here you are. Your second annual We the Future. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, Amanda, let me tell the folks just a little bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, you have quite an impressive resume, I have to say. Amanda Morrison is the coordinator of the Intercultural Center at the Santa Rosa JC, their Petaluma campus, also known as Our House. She is a California native and Sonoma County local. Although she spent her childhood in a hippie enclave, I love this, a hippie enclave, you must have known about the diggers in Los Angeles called Topanga Canyon. I have to tell Amanda that I was a cocktail waitress at the Galaxy Hotel, restaurant, and I used to come from the San Fernando Valley, go over to Topanga Canyon into Sunset,
okay,
and back out.
Yeah.
So I know exactly where you went. She attended high school at Santa Rosa High School, and consider this her home. Amanda's taught ethnic studies for over 4 years at Sonoma State University, as well as cultural anthropology at UC Berkeley. She holds a doctorate in anthropology from the University of Texas at Austin, with a specialization in Mexican American studies and popular culture. Her dissertation focused on the Bay Area hip-hop scene. If you want to call her a hip-hop scholar, She's cool about that. She chose the topic because she's interested in all cultural forms that bridge differences and bring people together across racial and ethnic lines. Her vision is to cultivate that kind of space in our house. Given her mixed Chicano and Anglo heritage, she sees herself as a bridge to community building. Anything else you'd like to add, Amanda? That is so impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds pretty good when I step
back. I know. You know, it's interesting. When people listen to you, you have to sit back and say, oh, my God, is that me? Am I really that good? Well, yes, you are, my dear.
You're sweet.
Well, you know, before we begin, of course, I have to ask this question. What is a hip-hop scholar? I mean, being, I would call myself somewhat of a hippie. I mean, lived in Los Angeles during the 60s and 70s, worked with the Diggers. So tell us about the hip-hop. What is a hip-hop scholar?
Well, there's a body of literature in academia studying the phenomenon of hip-hop from, like, historical points of view, sociological, anthropological point of view. Almost like literary scholars have looked at the lyricism and the oral tradition of hip hop culture, and you know, and it's a lot of scholars who are interested in kind of vaunting it up as one of the most important cultural movements in recent American history or even global history. And my particular kind of slice into that was that I was a fan, like I was what you'd call a hip-hop head in my 20s. I would go to clubs and enjoy the music, and it was really meaningful to me, especially the more conscious artists or political artists. And what I noticed in the Bay Area, just being part of the scene as someone enjoying it, was that it was very multiracial. And so there's this kind of interesting balance between, you know, having full understanding of the parent culture coming from African American communities, but then the way that it's been quite inviting in some contexts for other folks of color, and sometimes white folks too. So I was seeing a very multiracial scene, and I didn't think that was typical in the U.S. Sadly, we're so segregated.
Well, you know, hip hop and hippies are really not the same thing.
No.
No.
Yeah,
see,
no.
When I was thinking of hip hop, I was thinking more. When I think of hip hop, I think of the hippies generation coming up with the Dylan and the Expression, all that Expression. Then all of a sudden, the young people moving forward yeah. with hip hop.
Hip hop is, I mean, it's rap music. It's like for the kind of the hip hop heads, the scholars, and the people who are really obsessed with it. You have to include four different art forms. One is rap music, so emceeing, the oral tradition, the rhyming, and then the other is DJing, making the beats that go with the rhyming. So those are the two musical aspects. And then there's also often overlooked aspects, artistic aspects, which would be like graffiti art, all the elaborate artwork that it's very controversial because sometimes, you know, historically it was on New York subways and what is the third one I'm totally spacing out on right now?
But you know, Amanda, you bring up something
really interesting.
You bring up something interesting, and maybe later on we could talk about it, but I'd love to do a show on just various pieces of music and talking about the political statements mm-hmm. they're making and what, you know, to bring more attention to it rather than, you know, oftentimes what I find, that even in my generation was rock and roll.
Yeah.
So I remember my mother screaming, don't you listen to that rock and roll junk, you know, and so, you know, here you are fighting for your music, and it's the same thing with hip hop. It's a cultural, it's a generational thing.
Yeah, very generational.
So Thank you for clarifying that. That's amazing. Well, talk about a little bit about your background and your degree in anthropology. What attracted you to that? I mean, a young woman like yourself, what attracted you to that field?
Let's see. How did that develop? It developed over time. But when I was an undergrad, I was always a serious, ambitious student. I liked school. Like, it came easily to me. And in college, I went to UC Santa Cruz, and it did take me a while to figure out what to major in. I was like many students today, like, how is this practical? What does it mean to have a major in this or that liberal arts? I know I don't want to be, say, a computer scientist or something very specific, but I enjoyed all these liberal arts classes I was taking, and one of them was, there was a professor there who teaches about popular culture within the sociology department, and I just loved his classes. His name is Herman Gray. He's still there, I believe, was the chair of the sociology department. And I would just always was really interested in pop culture. I just would track things around
music.
Was
that at Sonoma State?
UC Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Where I did undergrad. Yeah. And so, I mean, I was loving all the classes about cultural expression, artistic expression, the arts. I was really interested in the question of high art versus pop culture, like that high-low, kind of like the snobbery of how we delineate between something that's, you know, prestigious culture and something that is mass or commercially produced. But what I observe is that a lot of interesting things can come from the popular realm, like things that come out of youth subcultures, like hip-hop, like rap music.
Or like the subways.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I found the most educational things when I lived in New York for 5 years.
Okay.
And there is nothing like, at the time, this was in the 50s and 60s, there was nothing like going into the subways and seeing some of the graffiti and some of the things. So I think that's what you're talking about.
It is.
And it was very educational.
Yeah, most definitely.
You could tell about a whole community almost through some graffiti.
Yeah, and I mean, there's really cool, like, there's a great documentary, I'm forgetting its name, but it's about, like, in the 70s when there was this quote-unquote graffiti problem all over the subways. But what the young people were doing who were creating these murals is this was a way for them to circulate their expression, you know, because they didn't have any other access to circuits of distribution and expression. They didn't have any other kind of platforms. These were working class kids of color mostly.
But people need to know that because otherwise they think, oh, it's just a bunch of kids making a mess. They don't realize that it's a form of expression and that's a way they can get their own frustrations out.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Well, then now let's talk a little bit about Our House. I know that this is something new to you, I believe. You just took on the position a while back.
I'm almost 2 years, but
almost
it still feels a little new because it was a big transition for me. Yeah, because my background is faculty and trained as an educator, and I still am an educator in that role, but I'm not in the space of a classroom. I'm cultivating the space of a cultural center. At some campuses, it would be called a multicultural center. We call it an intercultural center, which I kind of like because the emphasis is, like, the equivalent would be at some four-year colleges, you would have like a Chicano-Chicana center and then a black student center and, you know, depending on the size of the campus. But on smaller campuses, if you want to create space, really inclusive, like radically inclusive spaces, but you don't have the scope as smaller, you kind of try to get people together across difference, but still really acknowledging multiculturalism and racial diversity and the importance of having those kinds of conversations.
What's your greatest challenge there?
Well, I don't have a captive audience anymore for what I like in the classroom. It's that it's not hierarchical in the the classroom is a clearly delineated space. And certainly there's an art to teaching, but students are beholden to show up, to be present there. I mean, obviously, because there's consequences of their, if they are not.
Right, they don't get a grade.
Right, they don't get a grade. So in a cultural center, you have to attract students just by making it appealing.
Talk about one of your biggest attractors, I think, is this, you know, this wonderful, wonderful conference that you started up. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, didn't come from me entirely. It was definitely a collective effort of some of the SRJC, all of us colleagues, especially Petaluma campus-based colleagues. I would say to some extent it's the vision of the dean who I work for, Dean of Student Services, Dr. Matthew Long at Petaluma, but as well as some of my other colleagues, including Lara Larque, AC Pinella. They all went to a conference before I was hired. What's it called? NCORE. It's a conference about education and race ethnicity issues. And they were inspired to offer up something in our campus that would inspire and bring people together. And then the other thing is last year when we started planning the first annual conference, it was right after Trump was elected.
Oh boy.
And we were like, whoa. This is good timing because I think people wanted to get together and not feel so isolated in their, to some extent, fury and disappointment.
Well, I want to inject something about this whole Trump election. You know, I mean, all of us, I know, we're really shocked that it even happened. But as I reflect on it and as I look at it, The good news about this is it really put everything on the table. It said, this is really how bad we are, and we really need to improve. So on some levels, you know, and I don't blame him completely. I blame some of the people around him that are allowing this to happen. But at the same time, all these wonderful things are growing up. They're coming out. People are becoming more. I know women are moving a lot more furiously now than they were in the past 10 years. And I know many, many, especially the youth coming out like this. I mean, I hope that there are many, many young people at this conference because they need to understand what it is to really get involved and what it is to push and make change and hang in and not give up. So talk about, you know, I found it very interesting. You had, I love this whole underset of it, feeding ourselves, feeding our souls.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, I also want to, and before I dive into that, I want to acknowledge that North Bay Organizing Project, NBOP, is our community co-host of the conference. And so it's really lovely, kind of like campus community, broader community.
Oh, they're wonderful. Shout out to Susan Shaw.
Right, yeah, Susan, all those great. Trey Vasquez, who's the new youth coordinator, Davin Cardenas. And so I work with them, too.
You know, Davin is very interesting. I want to do a shout-out to him because during one of the last elections, I think it was for the rent control, he knocked on my door three times. Three times!
Yeah.
To get me to vote. I just think it's a marvelous organization. Yeah. So go ahead, continue.
They work hard. So the feeding ourselves, there's a food justice theme, but not all of the talks and workshops will be exclusively focused on food justice. But our campus is also, we were already focused on food justice as a campus theme, where that's a new thing we're experimenting with, is how to bring different disciplinary modes of thought together across, like, the sciences, say health sciences and social sciences. So every year we'll have a theme, and this year it is food justice. So that we thought that, hey, maybe we'll kind of integrate that with the conference too, and make that part of our tradition as well. Like next year, we've already decided that the campus theme is migration. So probably there will be a heavy emphasis on issues around migration, obviously immigration, but it could be anything from migration of different species, you know, in biological sciences too. Social issues around migration. So we're kind of creating these themed.
Well, talk a little bit. What are some of the workshops that are going to be available? And I know you always have a keynote speaker. Yeah. Who might that be?
Yeah. So our keynote is really exciting this year. Her name is Nikki Silvestri. And she's definitely a thought leader in these areas of food justice and as well as sustainability. The hook I've been saying, because to my mind, this is a big deal. She was voted one of the 100 most influential African Americans by The Root magazine. And The Root is really a leading magazine covering black cultural issues and social issues today. I definitely see a lot of their content on my Facebook feed, and I always find their articles and their journalism fascinating and top-notch. So they recognized her in that way. I think we all would recognize her in that way. She was the executive director of the People's Grocery, which is a food justice organization in Oakland, a really well-known one doing work, you know, like combating food deserts in working-class communities of color. I think she, to some extent, came out of like a hip-hop activist kind of world that I was a little bit connected with back in the day. And then she's also executive director of Green for All, which was one of Van Jones's organizations.
So that her name is Nikki?
Nikki Silvestri.
Okay, so she's going to be our your lead speaker.
Yes.
And so tell us, where is the conference going to be, what the times are, and is there any cost?
No cost. It's open and free, to all.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's at Petaluma campus of SRJC, which is 680 Sonoma Mountain Parkway in Petaluma. Our first session starts at 9:30. You can come as early as like 8:30 to register and just get situated. And then we'll have sessions and workshops. And then Nikki Silvestri will give her keynote. I believe that's at 11 a.m. And it'll last until 3. There'll be a break for lunch. Free lunch as well. It's like a super open-hearted kind of moment here in our community, just to bring everyone together. And then at lunch, we're also having a really dope musical performer. Her name is Sandra Lilia Velasquez. Yeah, so it'll be a really fun event as well as an informative event.
All right, well, let's let everybody know exactly where it's going to be. It's going to be next Friday, April 13th. You picked a good day, Friday the 13th,
okay,
from 9 o'clock. No, I believe it's a lucky day, and the Kabbalah 13 is lucky. Oh. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be at the Santa Rosa Petaluma campus at 680 Sonoma Mountain Parkway, and you can register now at wethefuture.santarosa.edu, and that's all going to be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, so you'll have all that information. Well, my dear friend Amanda Morrison, do you have any last words really quick? We're coming to the end of our segment, coming to the end of the program. I mean, it goes by so fast.
It does. No, yeah, just let's have a moment where we can come together and keep creating those spaces like a conference like this and others. So,
well, women power. That's all I can say. And it's wonderful to hear that there's so many progressive people off the Santa Rosa campus over in Petaluma.
For sure.
Anyway, that's We the Future. That's going to be happening again Friday, April 13th, 2018, from 9 to 3 at the Petaluma campus, 680 Sonoma Mountain Parkway. Well, that's it for our show, folks. My goodness, what a fast show this was. I want to do a special thank you to Kathleen Riley from the AAUW, and a special thank you to Amanda Morrison and from one of the coordinators for We the Future. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. Remember, the children are our future. We must never lose sight of that. I look forward to being with you again next time.
Because a woman in your life. The woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.